Hello, everyone. Welcome to the E. Nope, actually. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cro. Nope. Nope. Actually, everyone, welcome to a brand new Star Wars podcast here. You are listening to Star Wars Beyond the Films, a brand new Star Wars podcast launching alongside the Star Wars Report at starwarsreport.com.
You're listening to Star Wars Beyond the Films, the official expanded universe podcast of StarWarsReport.com.
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
I am one of your hosts here, Nathan P. Butler. With me is your other host, Mark Herleman. Mark, how you doing?
Hey, doing well, Nathan. Good to be here. Good to be with everybody. I'm looking forward to the show. There's a lot of things that I've been excited about the last couple years for the EU, and this show, I think we're going to be able to actually go there and really dwell into some topics that, you know, fandom has been thinking about, we've been thinking about, and I'm sure the listeners have been thinking about.
Yeah, now you've been kind of, in a sense, how you want to put it, sort of pent up, I guess, right? I mean, you've been sort of the EU guy for the Star Wars reports, and I know you've never really got a chance to toss the ideas out there with as much depth as you had wanted to there for a while. So before we describe what this show is supposed to be for the listeners out there, what is it that you, what's your vision? What do you want the show to be?
Oh, man. It's going to be a good time. That's what I envision. I see a place where you can come and talk about not just, you know, the EU, because I'm a hardcore EU enthusiast. You've probably heard me called the defender of the EU from time to time. But you know, I also like the Clone Wars, and, you know, there's also other aspects of Star Wars beyond just the EU that I enjoy, but I love it when it all comes together, and so I'm really looking forward to taking an all-inclusive look at Star Wars and its expanded universe and the saga in general, and getting to discuss it with a fan that, you know, like myself, has been around the fandom for 10-plus years, and, you know, that's I think that, too, is something about this whole experience I'm going to really enjoy, is getting to pick your brain from time to time here. It kind of brings us back to the old official site and the forums back there, the Beyond the Films forums, which I love the way that our title of our show is kind of like a throwback to where we first met in that regard.
This is true, and it actually wasn't intended that way. It was just kind of an idea that flew out there, and then we realized seconds later, wait a second, that sounds kind of familiar. You know, I'm kind of in the same boat here. I mean, I've been doing Star Wars podcasting for a while, and the most recent shows I've been a part of were the EU Review and Republic Forces Radio Network. And with Republic Forces, we talk about the Clone Wars a lot, and the banter makes for some interesting discussions, and you wind up with other points of view you didn't necessarily expect to see. It may not be a point of view you agree with. In fact, you may think the person's out of their mind. But at least it's got that banter going back and forth and a chance to look at things and challenge each other's ideas. And spending a lot of time when it comes to the EU material recently working on the EU review, it focused so much more on, is this worth your money? You know, here's a product. How is it? Is it good? Is it bad? What are the flaws, if there are any? What are the big standout things about it? And that's great. But at the same time, it's not really designed for in-depth discussions in a lot of ways. I sort of feel like that's something that I miss from the old Chrono Radio, my first podcast that ran for 5 years ago. And we spent a lot of time talking in-depth with Star Wars Expanded Universe ideas, and I think a lot of that moved into forums and elsewhere, but it really never picked up to the same degree in the other podcasts that I've been part of since then, whether it's because of people who are involved who aren't as versed in the EU, perhaps, or just the idea that the show wasn't focused on EU, at least not in terms of discussion, perhaps in terms of reviews, or it's more focused on, you know, Clone Wars or whatever. So it should be good to get back into focusing on those big ideas from the EU and pose those questions that might seem nonsensical at times, that might seem politically incorrect at times, but would give us a chance to look at the saga from a lot of different angles here. I can't wait to toss out one of my questions that I've already been thinking about as far as the view of Star Wars right now as we move along into, I guess, our second batch of episodes heading into February. So we're planning ahead a lot of interesting topics for everybody here.
Yeah, and you know, you've heard me on EUcast. I'm still a podcast host there. We've moved back to a monthly format, and we've kind of hit a rough scheduling hiatus. So, you know, I wasn't getting the EU feel that I wanted as much as I could get out there because, you know, we were kind of limited there. And on the Star Wars Report, I'm just one of three different hosts, and I'm the one who's more versed in the EU. So when I talk about the EU on that show, that's it. I mean, Riley may know an occasional book here or there, and Bethany may know a reference, but when it comes to the nitty-gritty of the books, they're not quite as caught up as, say, you or I. So that's where I'm really looking forward to going forward here is, you know, on EUcast with Austin. Austin's read a lot of the books. Elise has read almost all the books. Chris is right up there on books and comics. But we're not able to get together and dwell on a lot of the topics that sometimes I would really like to just go there, you know. But at the same time, I love everything we've done on EUcast, and I don't think I'll ever see myself leaving that show. They're going to have to fire me because, you know, I'm so animate about my EU action. And so, you know, I was just sitting there and I kept thinking to myself, something's got to happen here. We got to do more episodes or I need to do something on the side. And Riley kept hitting up, you know, hey, you know, if you want to do something on the side, do something on the side. You know, you can always launch it. It doesn't work out. And then I was sitting there on the Facebook and I saw, you know, you guys were posting that the EU review was coming to an end. I was like, wait a minute, what's going on? You know, we started chatting and next thing you know, we're talking about what we'd like to see in a podcast. And here we are. And I'm really looking forward to where we're going to go with this. You know, you've always been a guy when it comes to fandom side of things. When I'm reading a book and I have a question, I always turn to Nathan P. Butler because I always, you know, you've always been about the dates and I've tried, but when they got to that whole 3-5 and all that stuff, I got so confused and I was like, okay, I obviously can't go that far in my fandom. So I just kind of try to take it from a more generalized look. But then there's things that I hit that I'm just like, I don't know if this is something that's been there before. I need to talk to Nathan. And so I'm really looking forward to us going forward from here on out, especially with a lot of projects like Dawn of the Jedi coming out next year and things like that. I really look forward to a lot of deep philosophical conversations. So this show will give us an opportunity and listeners an opportunity to hear some points of views that you probably won't hear on any of the other podcasts that we're on or have been on. So I'm looking forward to that, I think, the most. I think a lot of people that are very EU, you know, enthusiastical, you're going to be finding this will probably be a podcast that you're going to enjoy. So with that in mind, what else we got on store for him, Nathan?
Well, this time around, what we want to take a look at for those who are perhaps new to either of us. Maybe you have been following the Star Wars Report, but you hadn't been following the EU Review, perhaps. Or maybe you've been following maybe Republic Forces Radio Network, but maybe not the EU Review. Maybe this is the first time you're hearing from either of us, perhaps. Maybe you're coming in from Middle Earth Network, and you had heard that Wars special and thought, hey, that's kind of neat. You know, I'm going to follow this line of podcasts and whatnot coming out from the Star Wars Report website. Whatever it is that's brought you here, we want to give you a chance to know a little bit about either of us in a way that in some cases you probably haven't seen before because a lot of podcasts don't take a lot of time to let you know who the hosts are. It's more just jumping in and you glean little bits and pieces as you go along. We want to be much more straightforward about that. And as we move through the month of January, we're going to be taking a look in small, bite-sized little chunks, essentially half-hour chunks, week to week, as opposed to being something where you have to wait months between episodes. We'll tend to record about monthly, but we're going to chop it into bits so you can get more content more quickly. And we're going to take a look this month at the different Star Wars novels and books that came out in 2011, the comics from 2011, and some of the other oddball things from 2011. Essentially, a year in review as the launching point here. And then we'll be moving into the end of January on into February with some other big topics for discussion, by which point you'll have a better feel, I think, for us and a better feel for what this show is going to be. You can interact with us, though, already. In fact, ever since it was announced, essentially, that this show would be coming, we have had a Facebook page open. So if you go on Facebook, search Star Wars Beyond the Films, don't use any punctuation marks in there, and you'll find the page for Star Wars Beyond the Films, for this podcast. What you'll find there is messages posted by either Mark or I under the Star Wars Beyond the Films name, I guess is what you call it, the persona of the show. And you've also got things there like we'll have discussion about certain topics either prior to or in response to different episodes that we put out. You'll also find various albums up there. I know Mark has put up images of a lot of his collection. I've been going through for a while, and this started with the EU review, but I decided to start taking pictures of my Star Wars EU collection. And it's kind of a lot more pictures than I ever really thought it was. But I went through last summer and started taking pictures of everything. We're talking the novels, the comics. As stuff comes out, I'm snapping new pictures. You know, here's four issues of a five-issue series. Here's the fifth. New picture gets taken to replace the old one. If you go there and you go under the photo albums, you'll see all these different collections that I have that are up there, all Star Wars based. And he and I will, from time to time, be adding more and more stuff up there. So you get a chance to see a little bit of the behind-the-scenes fandom. And maybe there'll be something on there that sort of gets your attention, and you say, hey, this is kind of cool, and discussion of whatever that is could wind up getting into the show. I mean, something along the lines, you know, maybe you're someone who didn't realize perhaps just how much Michael Reeves has written with someone else as opposed to on his own. And maybe that sparks the conversation of, is it good to have co-authors within Star Wars as opposed to one writer's vision or something? Maybe that could turn into a topic of the show as we move along here. So it's a question of interactivity there. But you can do a lot of that over at Facebook. Not just Facebook, though. Right, Mark?
That's right. We're also on Twitter. You'll find us under SW, all one word, Beyond Films. No the. We had to shrink it down. There was a character limit, as with Twitter. You're going to find that anytime. You're going to be able to put the 140 words, send them to us. You know, you're going to expect to see a lot of Facebook carrying over to Twitter as well. I think we're going to have the accounts linked, so a lot of the stuff that's going on Facebook will be able to be available to the Twitter folks as well. I'm not usually in the account when I do my Twitter stuff. Same with Star Wars Report. I'm not usually the Twitter side of things. You'll find most of my conversations on Facebook. I will try to log into Twitter more often, though, to kind of keep that going and make sure that it doesn't fall stagnant, as I'm sure you'll find with Nathan. He'll be doing the same thing. But you have any questions or anything like that, yeah, feel free to send us a tweet, send us a post, a status update, whatever it is. You know, we'll be here. We're always around. We're always about.
And amen for the iPad Twitter app. I'm telling you, to keep track of all these different Twitters instead of having to go to the site and log in every time. So we are in a position now to basically launch the show, and you know a little bit about what we expect from it, or what we hope to do with it, I suppose. Let's go ahead and give you guys a chance to know a little bit about us. What we want to get into this in a couple of different ways, because usually what you'll get is either somebody starting out a brand new podcast where they haven't done any podcasts before, and it's, well, guys, you know, here's what I do outside of here. I lay drywall and I do this. You know, I'm a veterinarian. You know, if it was my dad doing the podcast or something, it's all this. Here's what I do in real life. I have 452 kids. They're all very, very cute, which I guess makes it sort of a brood in that sense. But it's usually either that, without a lot of the Star Wars tie-in to the explanation of who it is that you're listening to, as sort of the bona fides, the credentials, you might say, for that person. Or it's the flip side of that, where it's, I've been a Star Wars fan for this long, here's my favorite movie, blah, 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 but you don't get a sense of the real person. So we want to give you sort of both. So we're going to swap back and forth here and give you a chance to find out first a little bit about us outside of Star Wars, and then jump into, okay, what about in Star Wars? Is there a favorite thing? Is there a thing that drives our particular passion for the Star Wars expanded universe? Is there a particular way we've dealt with the community before, whether it's forums or otherwise? In that sense, giving you a good picture of us as we forge ahead, so that instead of figuring out who we are as we go along, you'll have that good picture right here in front, especially for those of you out there who haven't caught us previously on any other podcast, or at least not very much of other podcasts. So I guess, Mark, why don't you go ahead and I say this as if I'm the one running things here. Since I'm the last one talking, Mark, why don't you go ahead? Yeah, tag, you're it. Why don't you tell us about you outside of Star Wars, and then I'll take my shot.
All right. Well, I am 32 going on 33. I have 2.5 kids. The third one, little girl, will be due April 7th. You know, I've got scouting going on now. My son and daughter are both at the age where they're able to do that. My oldest is 9. My younger one is just going to turn 8 in April as well. You know, I do a lot of geek type stuff. Before I got into Star Wars, I was a big Spider-Man Marvel nerd. I don't even really should call it a nerd. I was always a geek. I don't think I'm smart enough to be a nerd, but I kept it on the down low through high school. A lot of my friends were like looking out for me, you know, you might want to keep this quiet around the ladies kind of thing. And, you know, they looked out for me well. By the time I graduated, I thought, you know, I don't care anymore. And I just kind of went there. I had a girlfriend buy me Zahn's trilogy, and that sat on my bookshelf for about 3 years. And then one day I was like, you know what? I'm going to read my books now. And I started, and I just haven't been able to stop. And it didn't help that my current lady, my wife, she decided to kind of, I don't know, play devil's advocate and started buying me books, and she just wouldn't stop. And next thing I know, I got so hooked that I couldn't stop. I buy the comics, I buy the books, you name it. My bedroom is completely Star Wars affiliated. She really has no say whatsoever as to what we can do there because I just have too much stuff. I can't put it anywhere else. I've got the mad amount of comics. I got back into Marvel Comics through Star Wars because there for a while I was only doing Star Wars. And then I got back into doing the Marvel action. So, yeah, I would say I am a big sci-fi geek when it comes to my life, whether it's Star Wars or not. Everybody knows me as the Jedi. I've got IDs that say it. I'm always wearing the shirts. I'm the typical, hardcore fan. Nothing really hardcore about me aside from the fact that you will find me with a Star Wars book in my hand and probably a T-shirt or jacket or something somewhere Star Wars on my person. I'm just like that. I don't know. Something about it, just I get a kick out of it. I love talking about it. I love finding ways to reference it in just my common talking. When I'm at work, if I'm able to do a Jedi mind trick on somebody, I will do it. I'm like that.
Right, me, outside of Star Wars, first of all, professionally, I'm a teacher. I'm an educator, whatever you want to say. Actually born on the day the U.S. Department of Education was founded, so it almost makes you wonder if there was some sort of fate or stars aligning or something like that involved. What was the Romeo line from Romeo and Juliet? Did I defy you, stars? Yeah, not so much. I'm right into education. My bachelor's actually is in secondary education, social studies education. I got my master's a couple years ago actually doing that while I was teaching, doing an online thing with a whole lot of writing and research and such. So now I have a master's in education with a specialization in integrating technology in the classroom. So it sort of brings the technology stuff, like podcasting, into the classroom as a teaching and learning tool. So by day, so to speak, I am the mild-mannered teacher teaching, this year at least, World History in the College Board's Advanced Placement or AP World History course. So you will see some sort of educational elements pop up within our discussions here, especially as we get into topics where there's parallels to history specifically. But I've also taught economics, which is one of my other major areas. I should be picking that up again next year. I've taught constitutional law, American government, debate. Debate possibly will help us here, but I believe that, as I recall, the primary mode of debate amongst the students, at least when they were given free-form debate, was basically ad hominem attacks and you're dumb. So that didn't exactly work out the way that it was supposed to. That was kind of an odd class. But yeah, so hopefully some of those skills, some of those ideas will help as we're producing things here. Also outside of here, I am a writer. I got a chance to write for Star Wars Tales back in 2004, thanks in part to a podcasting thing, Chrono Radio, getting some attention about some of the problems that were going on at Dark Horse at the time as far as not being able to get things out in time, all kinds of copy editing issues and things like that. And my Star Wars Timeline Gold got that attention. I guess that falls more into the us and Star Wars, I guess, for the next part. But that led me into getting a chance to write for Star Wars Tales, which gave me the confidence to think maybe somebody else might want to read something that I've written or might actually enjoy something I've written. So I self-published a novella called Echoes, which is essentially sort of a murder mystery political thriller mixed with ghosts, and then one called Greater Good, a full novel called Greater Good, a time travel story where the time travelers themselves are telepaths, telekinetics. And those were both self-published, but they're going to be republished next year it'll be republished in 2012 as new professionally published editions with a little bit of extra bonus content in there through GrailQuest Books. And also for GrailQuest Books, over the last, I guess, 2 years at this point, two and a half, I am one of the writers, one of five writers, on a series for Wars. Wars, the Battle of Phobos, a novella series based on Decipher Inc., yes, the company that did the Star Wars CCG, Decipher Inc.'s Wars property, where it's essentially Earth versus Mars versus these maverick groups, these pirate smuggler type groups, and eventually a couple of alien groups involved. I've written and had released the first of those Healers and Hunters. I also have a second one coming out early this year called On Red Soil, but it's 9 books total, with mine being the first and the fifth. Or if you break it down into the 3 factions, it's the first and the second from the Earth faction. Because basically, it's kind of like a trilogy of trilogies. Sound familiar, Star Wars fans out there? Basically, a trilogy of trilogies for the 3 factions to combine together. But those are out there. I do that when I actually have time, which is not very often recently, thanks to the teaching angle here. But I guess that's what summer breaks are for. I originally grew up in Indiana. That's where the vast majority of my family is, Evansville, Indiana. I now live in the Atlanta area. It's basically me and my girlfriend and colleagues around me. No family or anything like that down here, which makes for an interesting time around the holidays, but also it does wind up creating almost a natural opportunity to write because there aren't as many distractions around outside of, say, work and whatnot. Big sci-fi fan, Farscape, Quantum Leap especially, way back in the day. Still get choked up on the last episode of that. The last little sign that shows up at the very end. Stargate fan, I mean, just you name it, Babylon 5. Big fan of those, not only on screen, but also in books, Saga of Seven Sons and that sort of thing. I'm actually right now working my way through the Dresden Files as I slowly work my way toward the next of the A Song of Ice and Fire, many would know it as Game of Thrones novel series. Lots and lots of sci-fi reading and such. Not always. Sometimes it's other stuff. For instance, a lot of times you'll see me with Hamlet, or you'll see me with a film version of Hamlet, or you'll see me with an audio dramatization of Hamlet, because I just kind of get all Hamleted up, especially during the school year, knowing that my kids are about to do it in their English classes. So, nice. Yeah, lots of geekdom pursuits, I would say, outside of there, but it has allowed me to pursue a little bit of that geekdom in a social studies political geek in teaching, and at the same time, the writer geek in sort of a sideline profession that I really was never intending to really go into. It just kind of happened. What about from the standpoint of, I guess that takes care of you know, who we are outside of Star Wars, though glancing on Star Wars, what about in Star Wars? What would people know you as? Where would people have seen you, heard you, that sort of thing? Because I think even those who may not recognize Mark's name, you've seen him if you're on a lot of the forums out there. You just may not realize who it was, because on the forums we don't usually use real names unless you're like me and you just say, forget it, I don't care anymore, and just change it.
Yeah.
So where would they have seen you? Give us the Star Wars background.
Oh, I've probably annoyed half of you out there at one time or another with my ranting and raving as Illogical Rogue 2, or IR2. Yeah, I've been on the official boards, the forums of the old Star Wars site for, since 2000 started, maybe even 99, I can't really remember. I've been at the Force.net, their forums off and on. I never really called that one my home as much. It was always the official site. I was always main home was the Star Wars Force Philosophy. I was in that thread, all 4 versions, ended up taking it over to EU Cantina, their forums. I'm a moderator and an admin over there. I used to report stories and stuff like that, news and stuff on their site for quite a while. I want to say in 2009, 2010. But yeah, with a lot of things going on at my house, I kind of had to step back how much reporting and stuff I was doing. But I saw it as a trade-off. I started to podcast more at the time. And you've heard my voice on EUcast. I've done some audio dramas for Solo Sound. I'm an admin at solosound.net, where we have a bunch of different podcasts there. You've heard me on We Talk Clones. I've done guest stuff on there. I was on the Bothan Report, which became the Star Wars Report, one of the founders of the Star Wars Report site and the podcasts that we got going on there. We can actually say podcasts now, which is kind of cool. We've got the Wampa's Lair and now Star Wars Beyond the Films. I've just always been online doing something when it comes to Star Wars. When I didn't have internet, I used to write some bios for New Jedi Order Encyclopedia. That was 10 years ago. But, you know, my internet came and went. And so that was a lot of my internet persona was whether or not I had the internet. So for a long time, I want to say about 8 years, I was only online when I was at work. But my work, I worked a 12-hour shift where if the machines were running great, we were making X-ray film. They were running great. I had 12 hours sitting on my hiney just changing roles and getting to read. So I was blazing through the books back in the day. Nowadays, it's not so fast. But, you know, that's where doing the podcasting and reviews for, you know, EU Cantina and Star Wars Report come in handy, because you get an advanced review copy and you're able to read it and get it read before time and not feeling like you're behind the times. I mean, I've got like 4 or 5 books right now that I've fallen behind in keeping up. And so now I've got like 3 books where I'm like, oh, I got to read those still. And then other books are coming out and I'm just going, oh man, I don't have the time anymore. So, you know, I get that little inner geek of myself where I kind of freak out, which most of you will probably recognize if you have conversed with me on the Star Wars sites. I am known to kind of momentarily freak out about things. But for me, it's part of the fun. Nathan, you've been here 10-plus years in fandom, so you know how it goes. I think when you've been there a good decade and you've seen how things come and go, the overreacting is kind of part of the fun. I mean, you know that they're going to find a retcon. Yeah. They're going to smooth things out. But for that one day, oh my goodness, everything has come to an end. Evan Pale has died early, or, you know, whatever it is. Ryloth's not spinning anymore. You know, you ride that moment of what's going on, and it's fun. I'm sorry. I'm sure I've riled up a lot of people, but it's all in fun for me, because sooner or later, they're going to find a way to smooth it all out. But, you know, it's one of those things, like, for me, I know I've probably drove people nuts when it comes to continuity, because I want all my stuff to mesh. You know, I don't care if George has a vision today or 50 years from now. I just like his vision to incorporate all the visions, kind of thing. I think that for me, that's like a lot of people, I'm always afraid they think I hate George Lucas. I don't hate George Lucas. I just really dislike that everything I like in Star Wars is stuff that he doesn't even care about. It is what it is. The man still makes great stuff, but it gives me something to talk about. And that's something you will find with me. I've got an opinion whether or not I change it today or tomorrow or 5 times in 20 minutes. I will have an opinion, and I will give it to you.
You know, listeners of Republic Forces Radio Network out there will be shocked to hear that and not hear me singing in the background. As soon as you said Evan Peel, you know, it popped into my head. Evan Peel. You know, it's death arrives like butterflies, et cetera, et cetera. I tend to break into song on that show for some reason a lot. I agree, though. I mean, there is that moment of freak out. I will tell you this. We are releasing this in January. We're actually recording it a little bit ahead of time to make sure we have everything ready to go, that any problems have been worked out before the actual release. So as we're recording this, very end of December, Mark, you've read the review copy, an ARC, advanced review copy, of Darth Plagueis.
Oh, yes.
Now, we get sick, for whatever reason, I honestly have no idea why this is. We wind up, because I guess we've gone different routes to get in touch with the review copy people and that sort of thing. What he tends to get are the earlier draft, I guess, versions of it before it's fully proofed, before it's fully finalized. In my case, what shows up at the door is the final book. So my copy of Darth Plagueis just showed up this week as of the time that we're recording this. And I'm only, I'm probably a quarter of the way into it, just about. And, you know, I'm taking frantic notes for my timeline and whatnot. But there's a moment where the first chapter says, it opens up saying, I think it's 47 years before the harrowing reign of Emperor Palpatine. And yet, right before that, the page before that, the words before that, is a page that says that part one takes place between 67 and whatever years before
65.
The
Admiral,
or 67 and 65. And 67 and 47 years before he becomes Emperor are not the same year. And that, for me, that's the freak out moment. That's the what? You know, that sort of thing. So that tends to be my thing. I just try very much to contain it, because I've managed by what I think is luck. One could say it's skill. I would definitely say luck over the years. I've managed to have sort of a line of communication with Leland Chi every great once in a while, kind of a cordial relationship there. And, you know, I try very hard not to freak out and immediately say, what? And shoot off an email like, what is this all about? I wait till there's no other way to figure out whatever it is. Me in Star Wars, you would have seen me on various forums. I was very active for a while, kind of off and on, depending on the teaching schedule, basically, over on the forums at the official site, the Books, Comics, and eventually Books, Comics, and Television forum. I've been a poster over at ReviewStarWars.com, the Star Wars Action News website, and their forums over there. A little bit at Jedi Council over at TheForce.net, especially before they essentially told Fan Audio to take a hike years ago, and which prompted the creation of Star Wars FanWorks. Just various forums throughout. The things I'm probably, I guess, best known for, what I would say is sort of my claims to fame within Star Wars community stuff, would be I guess starting out, the first thing was the Star Wars Timeline Gold. In 1997, I started producing this little timeline document for myself that eventually I wound up spreading around through email to people who were part of a club, a mailing list slash club that we had at the time, me and a friend of mine had at the time, stuff that I had to go to my dad's office and upload just a little Microsoft Write file via his 56K modem because my modem was so slow, it would choke trying to upload a teeny, teeny, tiny Write file. My, how far we've come. But I started doing that back in 97. It has grown now into what's known as the Star Wars Timeline Gold, which is almost 2,000 pages. It will be 2,000 plus when we get to the next release later on this year. It is the single most comprehensive Star Wars chronology document available anywhere. I mean, it is summaries,
dang right,
individual dates, references, and stuff like that. For a while there, the two big ones out there were My Timeline and Time Tales at TheForce.net. Time Tales really doesn't get updated anymore. Timeline Gold is still going, though I still usually only have a chance to update it in a big way about once every year. It's over at StarWarsFanWars.com/timeline. So the chronology has been probably the big thing I've been known for in fandom for a while, and just kind of stoking the flames of playing devil's advocate a lot, and pushing the idea of intellectual honesty a lot on forums, which usually rubs people the wrong way. And say, excuse me, can you be internally consistent? I don't have to be consistent. I'm on the internet, right? in 2002, I started, I guess you'd call it podcast, and we called it doing an internet radio show at the time. Podcasting, the word didn't exist yet. But I started up Chrono Radio, which was the third Star Wars podcast, if you want to call it that, in English. There was Jedi Talk, then Digitalama Radio, then Chrono Radio, and I did that for about 5 years. Along the process of that, back in 2002, so I guess we're about to hit my 10th anniversary in fan audio, just as we're about to hit the 15th anniversary of the timeline, I eventually also got into doing Star Wars fan audio dramas. In fact, my team and I, led by me and Chris Hanel of Digitalama Radio and The Formula, together we produced a audio drama called Second Strike, which is the first serious Star Wars fan audio drama ever released online, and kind of kicked off that genre. It's December. It's actually Christmas Day, December 25th of 2002. So I've been doing podcasts and audio dramas off and on throughout that time. At this point, I forget how many shows I've hosted, the EU Review being one, the But Learniverse, Fan Audio Made Easy. It's about, if you take all the, just the podcast material that I not just have hosted, like say on Republic Forces where I'm one of the hosts, one of the panelists, but just take it down to the stuff I've actually hosted and produced, it's something like 9, going on 10 days worth of material straight, you know, like if you played it with no sleep. Lots and lots of time spent doing this stuff, an inordinate amount of time spent doing this stuff. And that eventually led in 2003 to launching StarWarsFanWorks.com, a place to bring the Star Wars fan audio community together, if only to even just put up a little bit of news every once in a while, have sort of an internet, Internet Movie Database, IMDb type of listing for all the people within the genre so people can find related projects, and just have a place to have a listing, a directory of a lot of Star Wars podcasts out there, to be able to jump off to ones that you may not have seen before or found because maybe they don't happen to have Star Wars in their name when you search iTunes and such. So I've been doing that, and eventually gave me a chance in 2004 to wind up writing for Star Wars Tales, which, of course, as I said, led to those other writing opportunities. That story was Equals and Opposites with Kyle Katarn, Jan Ors, and the Yuuzhan Vong in comic form. Showed up in Star Wars Tales 21 and Volume 6 and got a comic pack with action figures. So now I can show my students, see, these are the action figures based on the comic that I wrote. See, if you actually want to do something and put your mind to it, you can someday do it. Although I say that as if I was planning on writing for Star Wars someday, and I really, really wasn't.
I have that right on my wall right now.
I've had the chance also to do a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff. For instance, I got a chance to proofread some of the dates for the Old Republic's online timelines. Leland Cheese shot them over to me to take a look at them, and we kind of had a conversation about that before they were released. I've had a chance to help out with the Atlas, which is actually what opened up that line of communication. If you look in the Star Wars Essential Atlas, which is amazing, by Dan Wallace and Jason Fry, they are the source of the amazingness, or amazing-gossity. Yeah. But if you look at some of those maps, like the map for the Thrawn campaign, for instance, there are dates on it, exact dates for when the battles took place in-universe. Me and Eddie Vanderheiden together were putting together those dates behind the scenes. He put together a lot of dates to help out for the New Jedi Order. I did the X-Wing saga dates, that sort of thing. So I got a chance with that to contribute the exact date in-universe for when Jason and Jaina are born, the exact date when Coruscant is taken by the New Republic, the exact date of various battles within Thrawn and all that kind of stuff. Got a chance to even set the exact in-universe date for Return of the Jedi, because it was the only Star Wars film without a set in-universe date. And by in-universe, I mean that six-digit
date. That crazy one, right?
Whatever you call 35 that. Yeah, crazy dash. One. Yeah, where 35 is the year of A New Hope, and here's months and here's days. I've had a chance to influence things. For those of you who are going crazy over the fact that they changed it from assuming that the dates in the old West End game stuff were on a 10-month calendar and decided to change that and say, you know what, those were essentially a 12-month calendar back then like it is now, just to make it easier. We just didn't tend to see months 11 or 12. That was me. That was a conversation between me and Leland Chee to try to make that more straightforward and to fit in with the way the dates were being developed, the way we were directed to develop dates for the Atlas. And, I mean, I just kind of had a chance every once in a while, you know, to kind of dabble in things here and there. It's almost like I feel very blessed to have the opportunity to do it, but it's something that's never something I seem like I'm actively going for. It's usually something that pops up. Somebody suggests something or a question comes up that starts a conversation, and that winds up with something coming out of it. So I've been extremely lucky. I would say there are those who would say that there are Star Wars fans out there who've had a chance to do things officially or at least dabble in officialdom, and that it's some measure of being a super fan or something like that, or some measure of really being tenacious as a fan. And I'm not sure that's it. I think it's, you know, I'm sure that Han Solo would disagree, or actually Han Solo would agree, Obi-Wan would disagree. But yeah, I call it luck. I mean, it's fortune. It's an accident of fate, and I'm very happy to have been able to do so. So I've got the fan projects. I've had a chance to dabble a little bit officially, but all of this has just kept the fire going with me for the Star Wars Expanded Universe. I started reading it. If you don't count the early Marvel stuff that I read a few issues of as a kid, I really started into the EU in 1992. Hardback of Dark Force Rising, paperback of Heir to the Empire, a couple of first, second, or third printing issues of Dark Empire, and I was running. So hopefully some of that background will be of use to us as we go along, and hopefully that podcasting experience will help keep this show, you know, tight, entertaining, something you want to listen to out there on a weekly or biweekly or whatever it is basis that it winds up being as things go along here. So I appreciate all those out there who have taken the time to pick up the timeline or to follow the podcasts over the years. I almost feel like you get to a point where I've said things so many times, why would people want to hear me say the same thing again? Maybe I am saying things that are new. I mean, it's just that I feel like it's rattling around in my brain and coming out my mouth. I feel like I've heard it a million times. I don't know.
I you know, I'm right there with you. That's when I was talking about my points of view on continuity. I have probably said them so many times that I feel like people are just like, quiet it already, you blowhole. I'm just like,
blowhole.
I want it all to work. I want it all to fit together. Is that just too much to ask? Well, apparently.
Blowhole sounds familiar, but that's a whole other forum issue from quite a while ago. So now you know a little bit about us. You know what we want to do with this show. We are right around about the half-hour mark, give or take, to wrap things up here for this chunk for January. Next time around, when you hear us, we will be taking a look at the year in review for 2011, starting with the novels and books, because some books aren't straight-up novels, and we don't want to leave those out as well. So thank you all for listening. And until next time, again, StarWarsReport.com, Star Wars Beyond the Films on Facebook, and SW Beyond Films on Twitter. Thank you, everyone, and what do we want to say? Do you want to say may the force be with you, or what do we want to say? Like, may the force be with y'all, or, you know, how do you sign off something like this when it's brand new? We haven't thought of a tagline yet, folks.
Don't vote beyond.
There you go. Good night, all.
Peace out, everybody.